Let's join me as we look to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask God for your presence to be in our midst, even as we are watching this recording together as a family, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure at some point in life, we have all the joy of receiving good news. For me, it was 25 years ago, and it was the birth of our firstborn. The nurse came announcing, "Congratulations, Mr. Liu, it's a girl." And today, we will be looking at another announcement of birth. In fact, we are looking at the most wonderful announcement that ever took place in the history of mankind, incarnation or the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be looking at the incarnation of the baby Jesus from the perspective of Mary. And we'll be looking at Mary's reaction, and we'll be looking at Mary's response to the angel. Firstly, Mary's background. Who is Mary? We were told that she's from Nazareth. Nazareth is part of Galilee, and Galilee were looked upon with contempt by those in Jerusalem. The city of Nazareth had an especially bad reputation. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 46, Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Amazingly, the angel came not to the rich, nor the powerful, nor someone with great reputation, but to a young girl living in an obscure little village of Nazareth with a bad reputation to announce his choice to bring his son into the world. Mary was a virgin, betrothed, and not yet married. And it was customary in those days that young girls were betrothed to a man for a full year before the actual marriage ceremony took place. Betrothal is different from engagement. In those days, a divorce is required to break the vows of betrothal. And her husband-to-be is Joseph. He was a descendant of King David, and we were told that Joseph was a righteous man. And although he was betrothed to Mary, he had no physical intimacy or relationship with Mary. And in Matthew, he had hoped to quietly divorce Mary when he found out that Mary was pregnant with child. But he was stopped by the angel. Now, why was Mary and Joseph chosen for this important divine mission of God? The answer is to fulfill the ancient prophecy of the baby Jesus. The prophecy of the virgin birth, firstly, therefore, we were told in Isaiah chapter 7 that the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And in Matthew chapter 1, we were told the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And this was the word of the angel to Joseph when he appeared to him. And in Luke chapter 1 in verse 34, when the angel appeared to Mary, Mary had confessed that how could this take place? How could she be with child if she is a virgin? Secondly, the prophecy of the Messiah that will come from the line of David was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And we were told again in Luke chapter 1, in verse 27, Mary was a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And later in verse 32, the angel told Mary that the Lord God will give Jesus the throne of his father David. Thirdly, the prophecy that the Messiah will come to establish a lasting kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, we were told that his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, when the angel appeared to Mary, she was told that Jesus will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. So many prophecies fulfilled. Was it a coincidence? Certainly not. It is not the work of chances, nor the work of men. These prophecies were fulfilled to demonstrate that this is the divine work of God. And now we want to look at Mary's reaction to the angel. Verses 29 to 30, we were told Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Mary was taken aback by the angel Gabriel's words, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Luke says that Mary was greatly troubled. And the Greek word here is diataraso, which means confused, perplexed. So when the angel brought the greeting to Mary, Mary was confused and perplexed. But the angel Gabriel continued with these words, "Do not be afraid." And the angel had used the Greek word phobio, for afraid, which is where we get the English word phobia. "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not have phobia. You have found favor with God." And the Greek word translated here for favor is charin, usually translated as grace. The privilege bestowed on Mary was a gift of God's grace. "You will be with child and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Gabriel announced to Mary that she will conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew word or name Joshua. And this was the name given by Moses to his servants' parents, which he named Hosea. And Joshua later succeeded Moses in the endeavor to lead the Israelites out of the wilderness. At the same time, angel also told Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. The son was to be named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And this name, Jesus, is significant and meaningful because the word Joshua, as I mentioned to you earlier, it means Jehovah is salvation. And Isaiah said that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, that he may come and bring forth salvation to mankind. "But how will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "How will this be? How can this take place since I am a virgin?" When Gabriel asks that Mary will become, when Gabriel explains that Mary will become pregnant and give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, Mary questioned, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Mary's words in Greek, translated here literally mean, "I know that this can be because I have not had physical intimacy with a man. How will God accomplish this? Since the normal means of pregnancy is through sexual relationship between a man and a woman." Mary's question suggests that the angel's pronouncement has got to be supernatural, a miracle of God. And I want to suggest to you that Mary's question to the angel was not of doubt, but rather of faith. "How can this be unless this is a miracle of God?" Mary's questions arose from faith, not doubts. And how will we likewise, when God comes before us to promise us of something, how would we respond in faith or in disbelief? Secondly, we want to look at Mary's response to the angel. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The angel Gabriel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadow you." The Holy Spirit will come, and His power, in Greek, which is dunamis, which is the same power that God, Jesus explained to the disciples in Acts chapter 1:8, that this power will overshadow Mary, and not of natural conception, but of divine conception, that Mary will be with child, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, the Holy One. And this is important, my dear friends, because this child, this baby Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, is born without sin. This child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born in the womb of Mary, is without sin, so that He was able and is able to save mankind from the condemnation of sin. For our sake, my dear friends, for our sake, God carry out this divine exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, St. Paul tells us, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And Jesus has pronounced to us that your sins are forgiven. And the angel went on to encourage Mary that even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was, and we know that Elizabeth was barren, but now she is in her 6 months. And the angel explained to Mary that nothing is impossible with God. So to assure Mary, the angel pointed the way for Mary to see that God is doing something miraculous. For nothing, my dear friends, is impossible with God. And Mary responded at the end of verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Every time when I read Mary's response to the angel's announcement, I am awed. I'm awed and blown away. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Here, my friends, is a teenager who could potentially be facing all kinds of rejections and all kinds of misunderstanding for conceiving and carrying a child before her marriage. But yet, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary readily agreed to the Lord's mission. Mary affirms the truth that undergirds our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, that "I am the Lord's servant." After all that is said and done, and after all that we have explored the possibilities of our options in lives and our walk, we must still decide. Are we servant, or are we master of our faith. Is our allegiance to the Lord, or is our allegiance to our own personal carnal desires? Mary was faced with the toughest decision in her life. Should I obey and make way for the King of Kings to be conceived in my womb? Or should I take the easy way out to avoid all difficulties and pain? To Mary's credit, Mary's response of faith is what our response must be whenever we are faced with tough decisions in life, in our walk, and especially, my dear friends, during this season of Advent in preparation for Christmas, and especially in this season of COVID, as we continue to press on in our faith, in our walk with God, despite the challenges that we are facing globally, we must say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Let us pray. Lord, help us to count it an honor to be your servant. Help us to count it an honor to have been asked to serve you in a particular way. And help us to serve you with joy and not with a grudging and complaining attitude. Help us to be a servant of whom you can be proud of, that we may be able to say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.